Genesis chapter 7. For the preaching and teaching of God's word, the seventh chapter. Genesis chapter number 7. By the way, thanks to all of the church for your kindness and generosity to me, to Dad during our birthdays, the texts, the calls, the cards, the gifts. We don't take it for granted. What a blessing it is to be in a place where you know you're loved. And I certainly want to say thank you to all of you and to every one of you for your kindness. And I appreciate the love and support you show me, not just on my birthday, but all year round. I just don't ever want to take it for granted. Thank you so much. Genesis chapter 7. And the Lord said, I like when God's talking. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. And of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female. You think God has a system here? The male and the female. Somebody say amen. To keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days. And I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Amen. Our Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We don't understand it. We're amazed. Calvary love is a causing love. We love you because you first loved us. And if we'd spend more time thinking about how much you love us, we'd spend more time figuring out how we could love you more. Help us, Lord. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing. We love you. Thank you for being God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We've been speaking last several weeks in chapter number 6 about Noah, this essential deliverer, the man that God raised up and used. He stood out. By the way, good Christians still stand out. Amen. Noah stood out. Not in an easy day. Not in a day when he was popular. Not in a day where it would be a comfortable position. He stood out because he made a decision to do what's right. Listen, our choice to do right should have nothing to do with culture. Our choice to do right should have nothing to do with convenience. Our choice to do right should have nothing to do with being comfortable. Our choice to do right should have everything to do with the fact it's right. Amen. It's correct to do right. And you learn to do right, not in the hard times. You learn to do right because God says do right. And you keep on doing right because even when it gets hard, because you're not doing it because it's easy, you're doing it because it's right. Here was Noah. He learned to do right when everybody else was doing wrong. All the families, all the men, the whole world was exceedingly evil. Violence had become common. Sin had snowballed. The world had gotten God fed up. And all of a sudden, the God who had made a creation that was altogether good to bring glory to him was fed up with mankind that he had created, and he was ready to destroy the earth with a flood. And yet in the midst of his wrath and his anger and wickedness on every hand, there was a man by the name of Noah that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Listen, that's a verse of hope. Amen. Says to me, no matter how bad it gets, I can still do right. And doing right gives me the grace of God. And by the way, I don't care how bad things get. If I got God's grace going for me, I can make it. Paul said that God told him his grace is sufficient. Listen to me. If you're struggling tonight, going through some difficult times, and the devil is tempting you to go right or to go left or to veer off the path, can I remind you that as hard as it may seem that doing right may be, God's grace will make up the difference. There he is doing right. And God blesses him for it. Makes him privy to information. And this information that God gives him is that he's going to destroy the world. And Noah is supposed to tell the world what God said. By the way, we've got information. Amen. Right here in this book. And if you're a Bible believer, you're a Bible reader. Amen. And my Bible tells me that there's coming a time where God's going to destroy this world. Amen. There's coming a time when Jesus is coming again. There's coming a time where every person whose name is not written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire, and forever and ever and ever that soul will live in a Christless eternity apart from Almighty God. Listen to me, we need some Noahs in 2017 that will get a word from the Lord and preach the truth to a lost and dying world. God's gonna judge. Here's Noah, preaching and teaching, and God's giving him all kinds of instructions. Last week, we began to look at these instructions that God gave him, if you would. We began to look at God's commands. God said, I'm going to destroy, but I'm going to protect you from it. Amen. Somebody say amen. Listen to me tonight. Do you realize God still hates sin? Do you realize that God still loves righteousness? Do you realize that when God judges sin, that God also makes a way that his people can be shielded from that judgment? Do you realize that you can do right while others are doing wrong? God can judge them, and God can create a way that when his judgment hits them, it doesn't hit you. I'm saying go to work tomorrow and do right. Go to school tomorrow and do right. But you got to follow his command. And he says, I want you to build an ark. By the way, it's important to note that not only was God telling Moses to build Noah to build an ark, but he was telling Noah to build a big boat when it hadn't rained before. How about that? You know, you're going to have to learn that God sometimes gives us orders that don't jive with our thinking. You know, it's like telling somebody in the Bahamas to buy a snow plow. You better be careful that while you're double taking everybody, you don't double take God. Did you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying while you second guess people, make sure you don't second guess God. Second guessing people is logical because people are finite and can only live in the here and now. But second guessing God is always a mistake because the God that's speaking to us today is already at tomorrow. And just because it's never rained doesn't mean the God that's already there can't see rain and moreover send it. So he's given him some commands, the configuration of the ark, the clarification, the covenant, if you would, the all that he's coordinating as this goes in. And we find out after God gives him all of this thing, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, and three decks, and a window, and a door, and all these things, after God gives him specific measurements. And by the way, this is not your time to be innovative, Noah. It's not your time to be adding in stuff, Noah. I hear God kind of saying, I've got this. You need to do it the way I said. Because only an ark that's built the way God designed it to be built is the ark that's going to weather the flood. By the way, if God's the one sending the flood, don't you think he's smart enough to be the one to design the ark? Amen. And so he's giving him some things. And after all of this, we saw servant compliance where Noah has careful attentiveness. He listens to what God said and he has complete adherence. He does exactly what God said. Thus did Noah. Verse 20:22. It's a verse that's not huge, doesn't say what we would think to be a lot, but it's a verse that's weighty and worthy of emphasis. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christian life is over. Complicated sometimes, and at the end of the day, if we really want God to bless us, we simply need to do what he says. Build. And this is what Noah did. In chapter number 7, the ark's built. By the way, the Christian life is a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. So you can't have the product without the process. Okay? So we can't get to chapter 7 unless we go through chapter 6. Amen. We can't get on the boat if we don't build it. All right? I think storms come in our lives and we're looking for an ark. But we're looking for the ark once it starts raining. Instead of getting on the ark we built before it rained. You listening to me? God's not a 911 God. God's not always a bailout. Now, I know that God's just calling to me. I'll answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. And there are things that come in our lives that we can't plan on. And we have to just know how to call God at the midnight hour and know that in the nick of time, he will show up. But I'm talking about the principles of the word of God that God has already given us. I'm not talking about stuff that comes out the blue. I'm just talking about reading the Bible, adhering to the Bible, walking with God, living in the spirit, line upon line. I'm simply saying, you know, don't know when it's going to rain, but when it does, you better have already built your ark for the next chapter at least or so. I want to entitle this All Aboard. All Aboard. We're done building. And it's time to get on. If you're taking notes tonight, write down this All Aboard begins with a sovereign invitation. Whew. A sovereign invitation. You ever gotten an invitation in the mail? You ever gotten a word of mouth invitation from somebody? I tell you something, there's nothing like getting an invitation from God. Here it comes. And the Lord said, and the Lord said, I want you to write down this sovereign invitation involves an exclusive authority, not an a Lord, not one of the Lords. And the Lord said, Jehovah said, Jehovah said. Now, listen, if we're not careful, we'll gather the wood, put the pitch around it so water can't get in. Bring in the animals, stick by God's configuration, do exactly what he told us to do, and then think because we built it, we own it. Isn't it amazing that Noah did all the work, but he didn't get on till God told him to get on? Let's not forget that everything we build, everything we think we earn, everything we think we do by our jobs and we accumulate by our hard labor, it is God which giveth us power to get wealth. It is God that gives us health and strength. In him we live, we breathe, and we have our... I don't care if you built it, if you bought it, if you think you designed it, or if you think you created it. I don't care if it's the result of your sweat and your tears, and you think I deserve it. It's my house, it's my car, it's my family, it's my... Let me tell you something. Everything you have came from God. Chapter 7's invitation begins with the Lord. He's the authority. He's the authority over everything in your life. And I sometimes the longer we're saved, the longer we think we're in charge. We are not owners, we are managers. We are not the ones that hold the deed. We are not the landlords. We are the renters. And because we're renting and he's the landlord, he controls what goes on in the home. And he also decides when it's time to be evicted. There's a sovereign authority. But there's also, if you would, what I call not only the exclusive authority, rather, but an endearing address. He said, Pastor, why is it endearing? I want you to read it with me. And the Lord said unto Noah, read this next statement with me. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. Would you read it? Come thou and all thy house into the ark. Say it again. Come thou. Wow. You say, Pastor, what's so endearing about that?
I mean, the man been building for at least 100 years, maybe 120. The least God could do was let him get on the ark. I'll tell you why it's endearing. It's endearing, and as I was reading it today, it encouraged me. Because God didn't say to Noah, get on the ark. He didn't say, go on the ark. He said, come thou on the ark. And for God not to say, go on the ark, and for God to say, come on the ark, he wasn't sending Noah somewhere. He was inviting Noah somewhere. And ladies and gentlemen, when God says come, he's not telling you to go on a mission by yourself. He's inviting you to a place where he's already there. Come thou. Boy, if there's an arena of your Christian life that you've yet to experience, maybe tonight you need to quit feeling like God's sending you on a voyage and start remembering that God is inviting you on a journey with him. Come thou to a greater prayer life. Come thou to an experience in the Bible with me. Come thou to a secret place during your trials that only you and I can enjoy. Come thou to a walk of faith where you can't find it out by sight, but you've got to trust me. I don't know where you are tonight, but without a doubt, out in my mind, there are some people that are waiting to go somewhere on their own instead of coming somewhere with God. That's an endearing address. Come thou. Boy, God's good at those, isn't he? Watch this. Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Watch this. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Did you hear that? Jesus is walking on the water at the darkest hour of the night in a storm. The disciples are on a little ship thinking they're going to drown. He looks like a ghost. They're scared to death. And all of a sudden, he gets closer, and Jesus says to Peter, by the way, after Peter said, Lord, if it's thou, bid me. He didn't say, go walk on water. He said, come walk on. Ladies and gentlemen, the walk in the Christian life is never away from God. It is always towards God. Amen. Wow, if nothing helps you tonight, run with that. Run and tell that. Come. Paul said, and I'm thinking of a passage of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, great verse. We are laborers together with God. Listen, without a doubt, the Christian life is working for God. Amen. But it's also working with God. I mean, we're partners with God. What a blessing. God, you're going to send me on this storm with this boat rocking, and how am I supposed to know I'm fine? Because I'm going to be with you. And then there's what I call, in addition to the exclusive authority, the endearing address, the expressed approval. It's almost like God is going to compliment Noah right now. Listen to it. For thee have I seen righteous before me. And don't miss the last phrase. In this generation. Watch this now. Come on, man. Come on. Come on, man. You know why? I've been watching you. Listen, son. He says, while everybody was going that way, I've been watching you. While everybody was talking that way, I've been watching you. While everybody was doing that, I've been watching you. Hey, that's why faithfulness is important. You know why? God said, I'm watching you. I'm watching you. And now, because you have I seen righteous. And that last statement is big. In this generation. What do you mean, Pastor? Nobody else was being righteous in that generation. But Noah was. And God, before he let him on, let him know, I've been watching you do right.
And now it's paying off. My life verse is Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season. I'm going to tell you something. This is Genesis 7. That's Galatians 6. And there are thousands of years between Genesis and Galatians. But there's a God whose presence transcends all of time. And Paul said to those in the region of Galatia, keep doing right, because in due season, your doing right is going to pay off. And God is saying in Genesis 7, verse number 1, guess what, Noah? Due season has arrived. Your time. They got the song out, and they got, this is your season to be blessed. Well, you know, how do you know? The problem is there's a lot of people singing that song who haven't been doing right. And it's not your season. Let me tell you something about due season. Due doesn't arrive necessarily at winter, spring, summer, or fall. Due is the fifth season that doesn't come on our calendar. And the reason why it's not dated on the calendar is because it is subject to the prerogative of God. He decides due season. See, I could pick your due season, but I can't pick your due season right, because I'm not God, and I can't make sure that your righteousness merits due season. There's one person who's always looking at you doing right, and it's not just on a Baptist church stage or behind a pulpit or in front of a classroom. He's watching you on your job and in your house and in the car and when nobody's looking, and there's coming a day when God, who sees all, says, due season has arrived. Don't quit. Because if you quit, you're going to miss your due season. And by the way, God has the right to watch you build the ark and still not let you get on it. Now, if anybody should have been deserving of going in the promised land, it was Moses. These knuckleheaded people he had to deal with for all those years. They complained, they argued, they griped, some of them slandered him, and yet he kept on working with them despite their stiff-necked stubbornness. And one time God said, speak to the rock. He hit the rock. And he had to be acquainted with the fact that people who have done worse than I have get to go in a land that I led them to. That's not fair. By the way, you heard me preach before. The Bible never says God is fair. It says God is just. Fair means whatever I do to you, I have to do to you. That's how man works. Because man can only see the outside. God is not limited to making sure he equates what I do with you and what I do with you, or what I give you and what I give you. That's what fair is. God is just. Fair means equal distribution. Just simply means he's got to maintain the character of his own standards. And there's more at stake than making sure you get $10 and you get $10. There's a higher standard than equal distribution, and that's the character and the law of Almighty God. God's less concerned about your material remuneration than he is about his holiness and his purity. That's the standard of God. Come on. Come on, Noah. I've been watching you. Whew. Proverbs 13:90, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. I'll tell you what doing right, even when nobody else does, will do for you. It'll give you such fulfillment when God says, due season has arrived. And I want to ask you a question. How many lonely, hot, wearisome days do you think that Noah and his family endured just waiting for due season? See, if you quit before due season, you drown with the wicked. There's a sovereign invitation. Secondly, we'll close here tonight. There are specific instructions. Come on. Come on. But watch this now. Every clean beast thou shalt take by the sevens, the male and his female, the beast that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Verse 3, fowls, male and female, to keep the seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Write down, first of all, these specific instructions show to us the preserving care of God. I mean, couldn't God have instructed Noah to build an ark and only cared for human beings? And yet, he says, not only am I going to invite you on, but I'm going to make sure that man and beast is preserved. You know what I love about God? This, you know what this is right here? This is mercy. This is mercy. This is God with the right to wipe out everybody, and yet he says, I'm going to make sure somebody and some things are preserved. And by the way, he not only preserved the animals because he cared, but he preserved the animals because he knew that the humans he preserved would need the animals. Care. It's like, in the midst of his wrath, he still cares. I mean, with a belt in his hand, he still cares. You ought to thank God for that. Because if he didn't care, we wouldn't be here tonight. None of us. He cares. Preserving. And then this particular coordination. I like this. Verse 2. Clean. Unclean. Notice why God says this particular coordination. First of all, there are careful procedures. Notice the numerical distinction. Verse 2, of every clean beast, 7, and not clean, 2. I mean, God is so smart and so wise. I mean, we're gonna make sure that all the animals are taken care of. But I'm going to make sure that you bring on more clean than you do unclean, because the clean will be more serviceable to you. Are you following me? See, when it comes to each, you're going to need the clean. But even more than that, not just what you're going to eat yourself for your diet, but what you're going to offer me for your devotion. You do realize that in those days, animals were sacrificed to God. And the only animals you sacrificed to God were the clean ones. Look at God looking out for himself. Bring me 7 clean and 2 unclean. Because I don't want you to be on the ark and get off later and have an excuse for not honoring me. See, let me tell you something. God can be judging everyone around you while protecting you from judgment. But not only protecting you from judgment, making sure that you preserve and he preserves the things in your possession that you render back to him for his glory. By the way, don't spend God's tithe. You have to ask yourself sometimes, why did God let me go through that and let me lose all of that? Maybe you lost all of that because you were using all of that for you. And maybe what you came out of the trial still having was what God let you keep so you can make sure you were using that for him. Come on. Sometimes some things have to drown. And God still puts a higher priority on his stuff than our stuff. Here's what I want to ask you, and I'm getting ready to close. Maybe tonight your priorities are off. Maybe you're saving 7 things for you and 2 things for God. instead of seven for God and two things for you. I wonder if the average Christian took evaluation of his life. I wonder if after a seven-day week, most Christians would say, what I did for God was here, and what I did for me was here. Or if most would have to say, what I did for me was here. You know what God's doing in his instruction with Noah? Demanding proper priorities. So I want us all to stop and think tonight. How much am I saving for God? And how much am I saving for me? Hey, God could have said, don't bring nothing unclean on you. But he populated the earth properly. But he gave some specific instructions to Noah. Seven clean and two unclean. Because I want to make sure that you have everything you need to honor me. Listen to me. A lot of folks going through it, trial, tribulation, temptation, and a lot of things. But I tell you one thing God's not going to take from you. He's not going to take your ability to honor him. And you know what? Sometimes when we get to the point where all we have is what we can offer him, we begin to rediscover what the true value of devotion is. Noah, come on. Come on. And when you come, get the animals. Seven clean, two unclean. I'm giving you instructions. I'm going to keep things alive. But don't forget, the only reason why God has things alive in our lives is for us to use them to honor him. And if we have them and we're not using them for his glory, maybe we shouldn't have them. By the way, you know what it says to me? The best security on things in my life that I love is using them for God's glory, because God has a reason to let me keep them if he knows my keeping them will allow me to use them for his glory. And there are a lot of people who have lost good stuff, not because the stuff was bad, but because they were using good stuff for bad reasons. Let's use it for his glory. Our Father, thank you, God, that you're not just sending us places, but inviting us. Noah had worked a long time based on a secret that God shared. It took a lot of labor before he ever saw any rain. Before the fulfillment of God's promise ever came, God just said, build. Build this way. Build this size. Build this configuration. And after all that building, he got invited on. Maybe tonight there are the people of God tonight who are still in the building stage and not yet in the inviting stage. Maybe there are some who would love to hear all aboard, but they got to finish building first. Wherever we are in this process, may we be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.